Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. Chuckery hanging out with you today, taking you till 2 o'clock. Line solo today is Randy McMichael's out in California riding his scooters and enjoying the Bloody Mary. Did you see the Bloody Mary that he tweeted out, Brian? He had a huge Bloody Mary with like a lobster, or no, a crab claw and bacon and all kinds of things in it. So pretty wild stuff out there. What they do? Canton, Ohio's finest, baby, the OJs. A lot that's happened in Canton, Ohio, by the way, if you're not familiar with it. So maybe at some point we'll recap all that. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. 929thegame.com is where you can listen to us live and stream us there. Download your radio.com app. That way you can get us on the go anytime. Brian will probably at some point, maybe, kind of, hopefully, sort of, depends on if he wants a good grade or not and how he's feeling about it. He'll have a post of the repost of the show by hour up there, so you can look for all that if you miss something or want to go back and hear some crazy thing that I had to say through all of it. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Bumble, Tinder, Grindr, FarmersMate.com, eHarmony, all of it is out there for you. If MySpace, whatever you need in the world of online experience, we have that for you at 929thegame. I am on Twitter. You can follow me, if you would, please, at JMCH316. So the Atlanta Falcons will be getting ready for their offseason here very quickly, as with only obviously three games left to play in the NFL and the Super Bowl, as we are your home for SB 53 in the ATL. Get our on-air phrasing mentioned for the top of the hour out there. Make sure you're keeping a checklist of all that. So when line 12 calls, we've got that listed. So Falcons here very quickly, as the NFL season will wind down. It will be time for free agency. We'll get into the Combine, Senior Bowl. Some games already taking place. We're going to talk a little bit about the Shrine game because of who was the MVP in it here coming up actually in the next segment. But question I have is, we certainly know that Dan Quinn, as much as anybody in the NFL, is probably on the hot seat. And I firmly believe, without it actually being said in specific words, that if the Falcons are not a playoff team next year, no matter what the record is. I mean, I would tell you, even if for some reason the Falcons are 10-6 and not a playoff team, hard to imagine a scenario like that happening. But potentially, let's say if they were 9-7 and they weren't a playoff team, I don't think the winning record alone is going to save Dan Quinn. I think at the window that this franchise is in, I think that it's still Super Bowl or bust. And my personal opinion is that I don't think there's any question that Arthur Blank has been influenced some. Not that he wasn't already in the "we got to win the Super Bowl" business, but I certainly think that the success of Atlanta United and the way they handle their business and how quickly things turn. And I understand different sport, different mechanisms that you have to work within, and salary caps in the NFL and all these kinds of things. You can do a lot more, obviously, in an MLS scenario. But I think that the success of that franchise, especially given what happened when this team was in the Super Bowl, makes it to where we have to be a Super Bowl or bust franchise. That should be the mantra. To me, it should be the talking points. To me, it should be the message. I know coaches don't like to put that out there, but at some point we have to accept reality. That's what we're here for. That's what this franchise is supposed to be. We thought maybe it'd be this year, and that we'd be in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the confetti flying and all that good stuff, and instead maybe our division rival ends up here. So I asked the question about Dan Quinn, where he ranks, even just within his own division among coaches. So I think if we look in say, very easily, there's no question that Sean Payton is the best coach in this division. And, you know, it was a 7-9 for a couple of years for the Saints. But one thing about Sean Payton, though, is he's been the best play caller in the NFL for a while now. So it's not like he had necessarily lost his mojo and his quarterback couldn't make plays and things like that. You know, they fought injuries. They fought some bad drafts and things like that. They fought several things that put them behind a few years. But I would tell you, if you're starting your NFL franchise right now, there aren't many guys that, if you've got to keep your coach in place for the next maybe 7 or 8 years, there aren't many guys you'd take over Sean Payton. Very few. I'm not sure if you'd take a Pete Carroll over Sean Payton. Not that Pete Carroll, I still think Pete's the second best coach in the NFL. I just think that if you're talking about the next 7 to 8 years, I'm not sure Pete Carroll's in the NFL that much longer. You may say the same thing about Bill Belichick, but it would sure be hard to bet against him doing something like that. If nothing else, maybe you think he wants to wait out, you know, Tom Brady and see what he can do without him. So the short list of guys that you take over Sean Payton, whether it's right now or for the next, say, 5 to 7 years, would be a really short list of coaches. So where does Dan fit into that next group out there? Is he better than Bruce Arians? Now, Bruce Arians has been a 2-time NFL Coach of the Year. Now, he doesn't have the Super Bowl that Dan Quinn does. He doesn't have the Super Bowl appearance. But at the same time, Dan is also a big reason that the Super Bowl turned out the way that it did. Now, think about the difference about, if we were talking about the Falcons as a Super Bowl champion, he'd be right there in the conversation as, you know, top coach in the NFL. He's not going anywhere. Even if they had a bad season this past year, nothing would change about that. But his decision-making, and this is what I keep going back to when I talk about Dan Quinn. For all the good that Dan does Monday through Saturday, it's that Sunday that gets him in trouble. Dan Quinn's not going to be fired because of a bad draft pick or Ryan Schrader, you know, regressed or this team wasn't motivated. He's going to get fired because they don't do enough on Sunday to either adjust, manage the clock, handle timeouts, have a philosophy. It's because we don't. It's because of games like Buffalo and Miami at home. It's because of not being able to close out the Eagles. Those are the things that will get Dan Quinn fired at the end of the day, because that's going to boil down to your wins and losses at this point. It's not because Ryan Schrader hasn't played as well the last 2 years. There were plenty of games to be won by the Atlanta Falcons this last season that it didn't get done. And we can talk brotherhood and we can preach all the different things that we want to in it, but at the end of the day, you have to come through and you have to win. Now, you also have Ron Rivera in the mix who, like Dan, has his Super Bowl appearance. I don't think Ron Rivera is a very good NFL coach. How about that? I think Ron Rivera is pretty overrated when people talk about his stead in the NFL. I always joke about it when people say, well, why is Ron Rivera a good coach? And the only answer I can get out of people is, well, you know, he played for the 86 Bears. So, you know, his team's got to be tough-minded and they're going to have an attitude. They don't have that. You know, they've been another franchise that has had very good personnel years that hasn't done a lot with them. And sometimes their quarterback is a reflection of all that when how much they get scatterbrained. I would tell you, if you're starting your franchise in the NFL and you've got to win over the next 2 years, Dan's probably third in the division right now. Dan's probably the third guy that you probably pick in the division if your job is to run your football team, especially on Sunday. And I think that's the difference of what it is. Now, Dan, maybe some of you think that Dan is a guy who should, you know, is the second best coach in the division. And some people may think Dan's the fourth best coach in the division. All truth be told, his resume really isn't different than Ron Rivera. I mean, it's not like Dan has done a lot more than Ron Rivera has done. So we all agree that Sean Payton is number one, because even if Sean Payton hadn't had success this year, the fact that they've won the Super Bowl is enough to push him over the top. He didn't blow the Super Bowl. But I think Dan's inability on Sunday is now what is really starting to come back and haunt Dan. And the Super Bowl wasn't the first time that that happened. I mean, that wasn't the outlier. That wasn't a one-time thing. It's been a pattern of behavior for this organization of what we do and don't do on Sundays to win football games. And you don't want to say that going into a season that you say is Super Bowl or bust, to where we have the third or fourth best coach just in our division. But that's probably the reality of where we're at right now. 2 years ago, there'd have been no question that we had the second best coach, I think, in the division. Had the young, hot, up-and-coming guy. Things are going to turn around and all this kind of stuff. I mean, Falcons are on the way up. That's not the case right now. That's not the case. And the Falcons got a lot of love in the offseason from all of the pundits. A lot of people. Not big dopes, not just every talking head on some blog, but respectable guys within the industry really thought the Falcons would be a Super Bowl contending team, that the Falcons would be right in the mix of winning a Super Bowl. And you could talk about the reasons why, and if you want to point to injuries, injuries had nothing to do with the Philadelphia game. Injuries still should not have lost the Cincinnati game. All Desmond Trufant has to do is catch the interception that was thrown directly to him. That game, that play changes that game. You know, there were plenty of games to be won. Cowboys game, is it because of injuries? Plenty of those types of games that you go over the course of the season that were right there to be had for this Falcons team, that lack of execution, lack of being able to change perception. You know, go back to how we handled the first half of the Saints game. We weren't all gas, no breaks. Give the ball back to New Orleans. They were. And those difference in points mattered. What they were able to do and what we didn't attempt to go do turned out to be a big difference in that game. The fact that they went and got points to start to end the first half, and we decided not to push the issue. Those are the kinds of things that when you look back in those four or five plays that decide a game, that's what's going to get Dan run out of here. Every coach in the NFL eventually is going to get fired or quit. You know, Bill Belichick, probably the only guy that you could say would be hard-pressed to never get fired. Pete Carroll probably, unless they went 4-12 for a couple of years, probably never gets fired either. But it's an interesting conversation to see where Dan stacks up against just even within his own division. All right, when we get back, it was good news for the Georgia Bulldogs in the Shrine game yesterday. Are we about to see another impactful class of Bulldogs hit the NFL? We'll talk that next. John Chuckery in the Key Studio, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Key Studios. This is Gene Simmons of Kiss. This is one of the greatest days in history today. It is my friend and my partner, my longtime partner, Paul Stanley's birthday today. Paul, how are you?
Well, Gene, I gotta tell you, Gene, I'm just so good. Thanks for having me.
Brian Gephardt, you're producing today. Brian, let me ask you a question, Brian. Have you been to Kiss.com and checked out the Kiss coffins that we have there?
I haven't recently.
Well, I tell you, you should, because people are dying to get them. I told you we'd get some Gene and Paul before it was all said and done. Happy birthday to Paul Stanley today.
What other feeling that won't be the last one?
Probably not. All depends on if we come back with Kiss. This was, the unmakeuped version of Kiss, the Heavens on Fire version of Kiss. So I forget what that album was called. I don't think it was called Heavens on Fire. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Animal Eyes.
It was the album?
Yeah.
Okay. I think this was their first non-makeup album, maybe. Something like that. So I don't even know. Half the band might have not have been the originals. Peter, Chris, and who's the other guy? Oh, man. Now I forget. Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Peter, Chris, and I'm going to forget the other guy. Ace Frehley. Dang. Yeah, those names don't mean anything to you.
You're slipping.
Right?
You're slipping. Exactly. I mean, I know Paul Stanley. That's about it.
Yeah. Paul Stanley. Paul, it's so good to be here with you, Gene. I love that Fourth and Loud A&E show that they had where they bought the AFL, the Arena Football League team and all that. So imagine those two guys running an Arena Football League team. This is a great promotion we've got here. What is this football thing you're holding in your hand? That thing looks like something I had back in the 70s at Studio 54. Anyway, it's that kind of show, folks. Randy's not here to keep us in the road at all, so not that it would help a whole lot. By the way, too, don't forget, it is a Team Have takeover tomorrow on the station, so you will get all the Team Have nodders, I should say, tomorrow, from hosts to producers to update guys to everybody in the mix. So yesterday was a good day for the Georgia Bulldogs, actually a good week in some ways for the Georgia Bulldogs. Yesterday was the East-West Shrine Game, one of the annual postseason games that this takes place in where is the game played? I was trying to remember where it was. But the East-West Shrine Game, one of those long-time postseason games to get guys ready for the combine and such like that. If you didn't see, the offensive MVP of the game was none other than Terry Godwin, Georgia wide receiver. Four catches, caught all four balls thrown to him. Four catches, 80 yards, and two touchdowns in the game yesterday, and impressed greatly in there. Now, that's coming off of a week where Lamont Galliard really impressed, and people are saying really improved his potential draft stock given the week of practice that he had. Of course, offensive lineman for Georgia. So another guy. Now, you look at the class that came in this year. It's entirely possible that you're going to have two Georgia running backs that play in the Super Bowl. If the Rams and Patriots find a way in, you're going to have Sony Michel and Todd Gurley. Certainly Nick Chubb had a very good and Gurley, not a rookie, obviously, but Michel with a good year for the Patriots, had the three touchdowns last week. Nick Chubb obviously had a really nice season for the Cleveland Browns, finally got to start a lot more as the season went along once Wolverine got out of there and, you know, they started actually playing their young guys out there. You saw him blossom into one of the better backs among rookies in the NFL. Certainly Roquan Smith looks like a difference maker for the Chicago Bears. So, you know, all in all, the top guys with a very successful season in their rookie campaign in the NFL. And now you're hearing about Galliard. Now you see what Terry Godwin did. Maybe a guy who wasn't utilized enough in the NFL. You know, lots of talent. You know, Randy really likes, obviously, Isaac Nauta coming into this draft, a guy who may be one of those next great young tight ends. And so you're starting to see Georgia Bulldogs, and not so much that there was a lag, but certainly top-tier Georgia guys getting drafted and making an impact in the NFL. And this is another one of those things where you want to be as a Georgia Bulldog. You know, you remember last season on, what was it, what do they call that when they have the workouts on campus? Not senior day workouts, but the, you know, the on-campus off-season workout. Like when the NFL scouts come to your campus. What the hell do they call it? Pro day. Your pro day on campus. You know, you saw Bill Belichick here. You didn't see Brett Bielema. You know, you didn't see Butch Jones or, you know, somebody, you know, some former college coach helping out Belichick. You saw that it was Bill Belichick that was here. And Georgia's kind of now, you know, getting more of that momentum of this is where Sunday high-level, high-caliber NFL players are coming out of, just like with Alabama. Now, some of that obviously still has to translate to what happens on Saturday, right? That's why another program, another team here in Metro Atlanta that is certainly for Georgia has to be playoff or bust. I mean, it has to be time for Georgia to be back in the college football playoff. It certainly has to be a program that it's time to take that next step because Georgia at worst is going to be third or fourth in the country coming into next season. And we were breaking it down on College Football Game Time about is Jake Fromm, you know, arguably the fourth best quarterback in America coming back next season. Well, I think that's very much, much true. I think when you look at the landscape, if it's Tua and Trevor Lawrence and then maybe Justin Herbert, I don't think there's any question that Jake Fromm is right there at the top of best quarterbacks in the country. And there's other guys, you know, certainly Adrian Martinez is a guy who can take that next step at Nebraska. We certainly don't know about Justin Fields and how good he's going to be at Ohio State. You know, there's certainly room for debate among some of that, but you can't debate how good Jake Fromm was last season. You can't debate about the fact that Jake Fromm was unquestioned one of the top returning quarterbacks, high-level returning quarterbacks in all of the country. Not to mention all of the guys that got the chance to play this year as freshmen and the incoming freshman class and guys that didn't get as much time last year. Obviously, Zeus, one of the guys that is going to get a lot more playing time this year with Holyfield leaving. So a lot of upside for Georgia, and some of that still has to translate, like we said, to Saturdays. Not getting blown out at Auburn, not getting blown out at LSU. But this is now a hotbed place that the top-level NFL guys are really coming to make sure and make a spectacle of. And I think that only helps Georgia, even in recruiting and even in brand and even in perception about where they are. I don't know if there's much doubt right now that the number two brand going in the SEC is the Georgia Bulldogs. It's not LSU. LSU is coming into a season where most people did not think for one second that their coach would be the coach at this time or even maybe even finish the season. It's certainly not Auburn, who doesn't know what they want to be, and I think a lot of Auburn alum already have buyer's remorse on the idea of having given Gus Malzahn $49 million in 7 years to stay at that program. Florida could be there, but Florida's not on the level right now of where Georgia is. Really good season for Florida, finishing the top seven. I think they were seventh in the country when it was all said and done. Obviously a good win in the Peach Bowl over Michigan and a lot of good things for Florida this year. They, of course, beat LSU this year. But their brand right now isn't as sexy as what Georgia is right now at this moment. And the more things that you see out of these guys that shine as they're getting ready for the NFL, and the more of these guys that you see that turn out to be guys that the NFL really focuses on and a program. And it's not that you can't go to a program, obviously. I understand that you can go to Troy, right? I mean, what was his name? DeMarcus Ware, and went to Troy. You can go to Troy and be a top-level NFL pick, but your program and who looks at you isn't in the same. An elite player is an elite player. But a lot of guys that can shine out can really find themselves in a much better position. Guy who plays really well at the Senior Bowl at Troy probably still doesn't get the recognition and the look the way that a guy that plays great in the Senior Bowl from Georgia is going to get a look at. Because they're going to look at level of competition and different things like that tell you, and system and different things like that, and who your college coach was and all those kinds of things that play favorites into it. And so this really to me is another one of those things that's a feather in the cap of where Georgia's continuing to go, where we're getting lots of off-season, talk about Georgia players and guys that are balling out. And great for Terry Godwin. I'm glad for Terry Godwin, a guy who came in with a lot of hype into Georgia. Guy was a high-level recruit. I had a very good career at Georgia. I wouldn't tell you it was great. I mean, he never got to the level of the A.J. Greens or the, even probably the Andre Hastings or who's our guy that played for Pittsburgh? God, my brain is just
Hines Ward. Fried.
Hines Ward, one of those level kinds of guys. Certainly had a very good career at Georgia, but maybe in some ways, maybe really not as good as what some people had hoped for, that he'd be one of the all-timers. But great for Georgia, great for the program, great for the brand that is Georgia, and just another one of those feathers in the cap of Kirby that this is going to be a program that NFL guys especially have their eye on. Okay, when we get back, it's time for What's Bugging Chuckery. We can't even manage to keep our man. I'll sort it all out when we get back. Sports Radio 92.9 again on your home for SB 53 in the ATL. Jarrett's going to give you some updates on games from last week too. By the way, in case you missed them, that's just in case you missed it segment. Sports Radio 92.9 the game. Chuck, we're back in the Kia Studios. Do you remember this song from the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Oh, yeah.
This was from a... it was a big Broadway play called Hair. There's a song called Hair, too. This is all from that. But this was a huge number one hit for the half of that Let the Sunshine In, Aquarius from the Fifth Dimension. 404-741 800-919-0929 is the phone line if you want to badger and pester Brian today. So he enjoys it greatly out there. Sorry. By the way, too, coming up at 1 o'clock, it's a special edition of Pick Chuckery's Brain, where Brian will be running that segment. And according to the rumor and innuendo, is what I like to say in the wrestling podcast world, Brian has a lengthy paragraph about me to read as well. Am I hearing all?
Yeah,
this
I mean
correctly?
Randy's going to be jealous of how long this paragraph has
really?
Become. Yeah,
okay.
It's that good. I mean, the questions, I don't know if they're good at all, but
right.
The paragraph's good.
Right, right. Well, that'll eat up half the segment, so you don't have to worry about it if the questions are any good. That way, if the questions aren't good, you can only get through half of them. So, anyway, if you want to get any kind of recaps on the show, Brian, maybe sort of, kind of, hopefully, who knows. We'll have some of that online.
What we do have online is the Jason Longshore interview. That's okay. Up online, so check that out, 929thegame.com.
There you go. And we'll replay that for you at 1:40 today. Also, too, at 12:20, we'll let you hear from D. Orlando Ledbetter. We'll talk some Falcons. Had a chance yesterday to catch up with him on a myriad of subjects. I thought he was kind of honest about some things yesterday. I thought there were some interesting things that he had to say. You know, about a couple of guys that we talked about. So I thought it was good discussion, as always, with D-Led out there. But it's that time of the show. Speaking of paragraphs, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Any Falcons fans remember the name Kyle Flood? You got to go in your way back machine to a week ago to remember this name. So Dan Quinn had come out in his press conference at the end of the season and said that they would be looking into hiring a game manager. What have we talked about for years on this show? What did I just rant about in talking about Dan? You know, the lack of decision-making on Sunday is what is going to get Dan in trouble. Well, part of that, tell Terry I said thanks, by the way, for the walk this morning, Brian. So make sure he got a shout-out for allowing that. My lungs have only collapsed from the cold wind. But anyway, we talked about, you know, what's going to hurt Dan in the long run. Well, Kyle Flood was the guy who was hired to be the game manager, and he's been on staff, and this is our guy. Fast forward a week, and Flood is off to be Alabama's offensive line coach as he's going to join Steve Sarkisian in Tuscaloosa. Of course, Sarkisian became the OC for Alabama, and Flood is headed there to be with him. So let me see if I got this straight. We couldn't manage our top manager couldn't managing to keep our new game manager, or something like that, right? I don't know. I am scratching my head a little bit. You had a guy that was on staff, and how do you not know a guy like that's like looking at other options? And, you know, this is like supposed to be one of those important things for Dan this year, and one of those things that is going to be different about this team and different about Dan. And Randy says self-evaluating. You didn't even evaluate the guy that you wanted to manage your stuff enough to. See, these are these little details when we talk about all gas, no brakes, the Bears loose, Hunger Games Index, Fast and Furious, Embrace the Suck, Own the Now. I'm sure I'm missing some. I mean, feel free at JMCH316 to tweet me the ones that I'm missing, you know, from our catchphrase, our bumper sticker slogan platitude. We couldn't manage to understand that the guy that's going to be our game manager is ready to move on and move out of this organization. Yeah, that sounds like a completely Falcons thing for the way things are going for this team and this franchise right now. So congrats to Kyle Flood, former Rutgers coach. Congrats to him for getting a job at Alabama. You would think that you'd still think being a game manager in the NFL would be better than being an O-line coach at Alabama. I don't know. Is that maybe not a good sign, too? Is that one of those things where guys start to read the tea leaves and say, in 2 years, I'll still be here in Tuscaloosa. I may not be a game manager in in Atlanta. There's just nothing good about this. So now, if you're looking, I tell you, send a resume to Dan in Flowery Branch. That's at DQ at Flowery Branch, or send it to DQ at allgasnobreaks.net, and maybe you could apply to be the game manager coach. It's got to pay well. I mean, you're an NFL assistant, so it's got to pay some. So, yeah, don't feel free to send your resumes, because at this point, we don't have anybody else in the pipeline. Maybe Gary Kubiak will come here, and he'll leave. He's already left Denver, so now we can legally talk to him. So maybe he'll come here and want to be a game manager coach. Because we need another OC guy on our staff, because we just only have 15 of them right now. But, yeah, this is full-on Atlanta Falcons. Not the way I was kind of hoping to discuss it. May sound like a minor detail, but it's not. You know, not when you put importance on it. Not when your head coach came out and said, this is one of the things I have to work on. Not when this is the thing that drives you the most crazy about our head coach, that it only took a week for a week. Now, if this was like 4 months from now, I'm not going to get his angst. He lasted 1 week in the job. Okay. All right. That's what's bugging Chuckery. How did it go on line 12 back there? All good?
Yeah, we're good.
You tell Terry thanks for this morning? Tell him that my lungs are still burning from the wind. So
we're all good, Chuckery.
Yeah. I'll hear about that in the commercial break. So, yeah. Anyway, as we said, we'll hear from D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up at 12:20. We'll pick my brain. Jason Longshore replay later on for you as well. So plenty of good stuff yet to come on the show. With you till 2 o'clock on the eve of the Team Have Not Takeover that's coming up tomorrow. As every part-timer that we have left at the station, if there's anybody left, we're all going to be on tomorrow. What? Thank God there's a Hawks game to break it all up tomorrow. Your pregame is at 2:30, tip-off at 3 o'clock tomorrow for Hawks. I think Mike Conti is back for the Hawks in Orlando Magic, a staple in Atlanta to play on MLK Day. I know kids will be off school and some people will be off work, so enjoy the day tomorrow. Don't forget all your conference title games coming up, 2 o'clock pregame right after I'm done, 3:05 kickoff. 6:40 kickoff for the AFC game. Your home for SB 53 in the ATL and your conference championship games. It's all here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we get back next, I've really been wanting to see a movie lately because I like going to movies. Are we ever going to get any good movies ever made again? Ever? We'll discuss that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great yacht rock music right here, baby. 10cc. Founder of 10cc, Eric Stewart's birthday today. Part of our music theme here on all of your soft hits. It's Q92.9 The Game. Too many broken hearts are falling in the river. Too many lonely. When we get back from the top of the hour sports flash, Jared's going to give you scores from last week in the NFL. He'll have Bears-Eagles updates for you. Power ranking the Braves in the National League. It'll be up next. You know, I'd really like to go see a movie. I've been wanting to see a movie. There are, like, no movies that are worth, like, spending real money. Because, like, if I go to a movie, like, the movie theater I go to is over at North Point Mall. And they got the big leather seats. And they got the full bar there. And get some booze and some popcorn. But, you know, that's like a $30 adventure when it's all said and done to go see Aquaman, Spider-Man. Why can't they make any good movies? And I know some people have said that Clint Eastwood movie is supposed to be pretty good. Is that really worth investing like $30 to go see? Like when you go to a movie, I want to go see a good movie. I want to go see and I hate to say it this way, but the Avalon. You're familiar with that up there, the Avalon, kind of one of my hangout places. Their Regal Cinema up there, they're going to be doing a lot of throwback movies as the year goes on. Because it's like, it's the anniversary of Godfather 2. It's the anniversary of Alien. It's the anniversary of Field of Dreams. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather spend $20-$25 and go see one of those movies back on the bit. Go get me a leather recliner and some drinks and go see Godfather 2 on the big screen. Hell, I'd much rather do that than to go see Aquaman, Spider-Man, the latest dog movie that's out. I heard Hugh reviewing that escape room movie. That's no good. Just trash that's out there. There's literally only like two movies in the next year that I've seen that are going to be released that I'm even mild. Well, I shouldn't even say. There are two movies that I have to go see in the theaters. I'm a big Star Wars guy. I've seen every one since 1977, Jarrett, since the franchise came out. My grandma's taking me to Millette Mall to see the original Star Wars. I've seen every movie in the theaters since the dawn of time that they've come out. So I'll definitely see that at the end of the year. And then, you know, I'm the biggest James Bond buff that there is. James Bond comes out next February, I believe. I think it got moved to February of 2020 now. So that I have to go see as well, because I've seen every James Bond movie in the theater since Moonraker was the first one that I went and saw. You don't even know what I'm talking about, Dolby Millennial. So,
right. Are they still using Daniel Craig?
Yes.
I thought they switched one to
more.
Rowan Atkinson.
He's got one more.
Okay.
He's got one more left, and then it'll be Idris. Then we'll get Idris. Yeah, yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.